Everyone to our live stream service this morning at Fellowship Baptist Church. I hope that our church family is tuned in this morning for the services. We're going to be a little different here this morning. It already is a little different for me. We're in an empty auditorium this morning, myself and Brother Tracy Coleman. We are socially distanced about 60 feet this morning, and so just the two of us here, and Gonna just have a little bit of a different service this morning. Obviously, things are a little bit different, and so I'm going to go ahead and make a couple announcements. We won't be having any singing this morning. We're just going to make some announcements to the church family, have some prayer, and then we're going to have a time in God's Word. And so just want to say good morning and happy Lord's Day to everybody. And so let's open up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to give you a couple announcements and get right into the message for the morning. Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you this morning. God, we just want to say thank you for your love to us. God, thank you for how that you are so good to us, God. You provide for us, Lord. We thank you that we can gather around your word this morning. Lord, thank you for technology that allows us to still meet together as a church family. God, I pray that you would just help us and meet with us, Lord, even this morning. God, I need your help as I share your word. God, I know there's folks in our church family that need your help this morning for many, many different reasons. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can do, and that is minister to each individual heart this morning on their need and on their level and in their place. God, please, we need your help this morning as we look into your word and as we just worship you, God. We love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to go ahead and make a couple announcements to our church family. Obviously, we did not have live services this morning, in-house services. We're doing our services live stream due to the fact that there's much sickness in our church family, some COVID-related sickness and some not COVID-related. So there's much sickness going around, different viruses. We do have some confirmed cases of COVID within our church family. As far as we know at this time, no one is seriously ill, some feeling very bad, but as far as we know, no one's been hospitalized, and so folks are doing good. We praise the Lord for that, and we just felt, Pastor prayed about it and talked to the other pastors and felt that today would be best to not meet in-house, and we're not going to meet in-house again Wednesday, so we're going to not have our services today, and then Wednesday night, we will live stream again our services, and then, Lord willing, we will meet back. The plan is to meet back in-house on July the 4th as we celebrate our country's independence, but we also celebrate the Lord's Day. And so just be praying that we're able to do that. That's our plan as of right now. We're having the church professionally cleaned tomorrow. And so we're just asking God to just let this sickness pass. We want to do what's safest for our church family, but just not just for our church family, for our community as well. And so we're just doing what we believe is the Lord's will by not having in-house services today or Wednesday. And then, Lord willing, we will meet back together next Sunday. For those of you that have young people going to camp on the 5th, the plan is still to go to camp. And so until you hear differently, I would just intend that the children will be going to camp on July 5th. By that time, we feel that we'll be to met all the restrictions and recommendations as far as folks that have been sick. And so just pray and continue to seek God's will in this direction. I have some other announcements that we'll discuss at the end of the service, but for now, we're going to go ahead and get into the Word of God. I won't be long this morning. It'll be a little different. I'm not going to get up here and shout and holler and spit and preach to Brother Tracy. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to try to do a little bit more of a devotion style, but I really believe that if you'll pay attention this morning and if you'll listen, I believe God will help you. I know God's helped me. What I'm about to share this morning is actually something the Lord gave me 14 months ago when we were actually on quarantine as a country, when our whole country was shut down to flatten the curve, they said, for 14 days when we were church was shut down and we were all quarantined for the most part. The Lord gave me these thoughts and I thought I would preach them at that time, and the Lord just didn't lead me to. And so this past week, as I've been quarantined myself, I look back over these notes and God really did a work in my heart. and he helped me with some things. And so I hope there'll be an encouragement, be a help to some of you this morning that maybe are in the same position I've been in, or maybe you're not. I think that this could go for many different situations in life. And so if you would, take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter number 3. I'll give you time to take your Bible. I told Pastor Brandon yesterday that I was going to mess with some folks this morning. I was going to get up and preach against, you know, people, how they dress coming to church, and, you know, folks sitting around in their pajamas with their shoes off, and it's not because they're on holy ground, but I was just playing around. I realized what it's like when you're live streaming. It's a little difficult sometimes to focus, but I want to ask you this morning just to give me your attention, if you would, and I pray God, not give me your attention, but give God's word your attention, and I really believe the word of God will be a help to us this morning if we will do that. And so Philippians chapter 3, hopefully you found your place by now. I want to read four verses of scripture to you, and then I want to get right into the thoughts that God has given me this morning. Philippians chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I read these passages of scripture to you this morning because I've been thinking this past week about some of Paul's prison letters. Some of you may know that the Apostle Paul wrote some letters while he was in prison, and most people believe that it was four letters, the letter to the church at Philippi, the letter to the church of Ephesus, the letter to the church at Colossae, and then a letter to an individual by the name of Philemon. And so Paul wrote, as we know, four letters, prison epistles that are in the Word of God. And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how that many may feel right now like you're a prisoner in your own home, like you're on house arrest. If you have COVID in your home, if you have a family member that's sick, and maybe you're not, but you've been quarantined to the home, maybe you feel this way, or maybe you don't even have sickness. Maybe you're just a shut-in. There's folks in our church family who have gotten up in age, and they're in a different place in their life. They're not able to go out and do what they once did, and now they feel like they're shut in. And it could just go on in many areas of life. We have a young man that broke his leg, and no doubt he probably feels like a prisoner right now to the couch or to a chair or not being able to get out and go about. And so there's times in life where we feel like we're in a prison, like we can't do much. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about what's been going on. And I thought about this thought, and this is what I want to preach to you on this morning, or speak to you on, is being productive while in prison. Being productive while in prison. You see, the Apostle Paul was in prison, and I am in no way, I hope everybody understands, I am in no way comparing our situation to the Apostle Paul's. No doubt Paul was being persecuted for his faith and for his bold stand for the Lord Jesus, and Paul eventually was martyred for his faith. Paul lost his life. So Paul was being persecuted. Paul was being imprisoned. And I'm not saying that that's what's happening in our day, but what I'm saying is some things that we can learn from Paul's imprisonment, and how that you can still be productive, how that Paul, the apostle, though he was in prison, was very productive. And I see here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, I press. He said, I'm going forward. He said, I in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, this one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forth. Paul said, I want to be productive. Paul said, I want to make progress. I don't ever want to stop going forward for God. Paul, at the end of his life, wrote to Timothy and said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. You see, Paul said, I want to be productive all the way to the end. And I believe I'm speaking to a group of folks this morning. If you're tuned in to live stream from your home, obviously you're pretty serious about your walk with the Lord, and you want to be productive for God. And maybe you feel like I'm at home right now and I can't be productive. Or maybe I'm just in a certain place in my life and I can't do a lot for the Lord. And I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you this morning, you can still be productive. Paul never felt like he arrived. Paul was always trying to go forward. Paul was never satisfied with smooth sailing. He wanted to press on. He wanted to make progress. He wanted to be productive. I just find it interesting that the Apostle Paul, these letters that he wrote from prison were after he had already done many great things. Paul said, I feel like I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I'm forgetting those things behind. You say, what's behind? I mean, Paul had planted many churches. Paul had been on many missionary journeys. Paul had reached many people for the gospel's sake. Paul had done many things for the cause of Christ, but yet Paul said, I'm not thinking about the things that are in the past. Paul said, I'm thinking about the things that are in the future. I want to continue to be productive. I'm not going to live on yesterday's progress. I'm moving forward and trying to be productive even now. And so I want to challenge us. I want to encourage us this morning. I know it's been a challenge and encouragement to me as I've thought about these things to be productive in prison, or you could even say to be productive in private, or whatever you want to say. When you feel like you can't do much, you can still be productive. I want to look at these things that Paul did. I give you three things this morning. I'm sure there's many more, but I want to give you three things that God laid on my heart that I believe would help us to be productive in these days in which we're living, especially as a church family. Number one, I want you to see this. You can be productive through prayer. Productive through prayer. Here in Philippians, you're already there, so I'll just have you turn to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter number 3, in Philippians chapter number 1. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 9 in Philippians chapter number 1. Paul said this. He said, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You see, Paul, there as he's in that prison cell, Paul is writing to this church at Philippi, and he said, this I pray. Paul said, I am praying for you. In verse number 4, he said, always, chapter 1, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine. Paul said, I'm praying in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. You see, Paul, even though he was in prison, he was praying. Go back to Ephesians. Go back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 3. I was looking at Philippians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You see, Paul in prison is praying. Paul said, I'm praying for you. In verse number 14, he said, I bow my knees unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter number 1, in verse number 15, Paul said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And you could go on and read what Paul prayed. I for sake of time, I won't read down through here, but I would challenge you to read these prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed from prison. You see, Paul was praying even though he was in prison. If you go over to Colossians, if you go to Colossians chapter number 1, you'll see another one of Paul's prison epistles. In Colossians chapter number 1, in verse number 9, the Bible says this. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you.
and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, Paul said, I'm praying for you, to the church at Colossae, to the Ephesian church. I'm praying for you, to the Philippian church. I'm praying for you. And then in his letter to Philemon, Paul mentioned it in Philemon. In Philemon chapter there's only one chapter in Philemon, but in Philemon's chapter 1 and verse number 4, Paul said, I thank my God, if you turn to Philemon, verse 4, he said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. You see, Paul was praying in prison. I really want to encourage our church family this morning that we would pray. You see, I feel like some of you may feel like I felt this past week. I was quarantined this whole past week. I haven't been out of my house hardly any since Sunday. And if I'm honest, I haven't prayed the way that I should. But as I began to prepare this message and as I began to look over these thoughts, God really spoke to my heart about this thing of prayer. You see, I can be productive when I feel like I'm in prison by praying. You know, something I notice about Paul's prayer that I think is very interesting is, you know, Paul's prayers are not selfish, but spiritual. Now, I don't say many things that are profound and many things that are worth quoting, but I'll tell you right now, when I wrote that down, I highlighted it because I thought, that's good. Paul's prayers were not selfish, they were spiritual. You know, if we're not careful, we'll pray selfish prayers. No doubt, I believe Paul probably had prayed for himself. I think there's even, he alludes to it in one of his letters about praying, about his bonds. And I believe Paul was probably praying for his own deliverance. But as you read these prayers, that's not what you see. You see Paul praying for spiritual things. You don't see Paul praying for physical things near as much as you see him praying for spiritual things. He is asking God to give spiritual understanding. He's asking God to give people spiritual strength and wisdom and knowledge of God's will and knowledge of God's love. He's praying that they would be rooted and grounded in Christ, that they would know the love of God, that they would have a wisdom and their eyes would be opened and enlightened to the will of God and to the things of God. You see, Paul was not praying selfish prayers. No, he was praying spiritual prayers. That's why Paul was able to be productive even while he was in prison, because the Apostle Paul understood the power of prayer. I just want to encourage our church family this week, as some of you I know will be on lockdown. Some of you have been, some of you will be. You may not be able to go to work, you may not be able to go out, you may feel like you can't do much. And even some of our elder saints, some of those that can't work a bus route anymore, they couldn't be a part of our vacation Bible school, they can't go soul winning, they can't do some of the things that they once did in the church, they can pray. And I want to challenge us to pray. See, we can be very productive in our prayers. And when we do pray, I want to challenge us, pray for spiritual things. God has really spoken to my heart about this. I began over the last couple of days to really pray that God would use this time in our church family to grow people spiritually, to grow people closer to the Lord, to work in people's hearts and give them a desire for the Word of God and give them an understanding of the love of God. And I just pray that God would work. I've been praying for our young people. We're going to a youth conference at the end of this month, Lord willing. I've been praying, God, as we go to youth conference, would you work in their hearts? Would you open their eyes of understanding? God, speak to me and help us to grow spiritually. Our juniors are getting ready to go to camp, and I've been praying the last couple of days, God, I pray you'd work in our juniors' hearts, work in their lives. You see, brethren, if God doesn't work in our lives, if God doesn't work in other people's lives, then nothing good is going to happen for the kingdom and for the cause of Christ. And so I want to encourage us to pray. to pray and pray for spiritual things. Now, that's nothing wrong with praying for physical, but I'm afraid sometimes if we look through a church prayer list, there's so much more physical prayer requests on there than there is spiritual requests. And as I said, we need to pray one for another. We ought to pray that this sickness would pass. We ought to pray that God would raise people that are down up. We need to pray that God would heal those that are extremely sick, maybe not even with a virus, but with cancer. We need to pray for those things, but also we need to pray for spiritual things. Paul's prayers were spiritual prayers. So number one, we can be productive through our prayers. Number two, we can be productive through our pen. Now I know this is I don't know what you'd call it, but a little different in 2021 because very few people even use a pen anymore. They don't sign checks. They don't write very often. It's email. It's typing. It's texting. And so if that's what you do, then you use it. But for sake of alliteration, we're going to say a pen. You see, the Apostle Paul was productive through his pen. You see, Paul wrote, as I've said already, four of his epistles were what we consider prison epistles. Now, obviously, these are the ones that we have in the canon of Scripture. I personally don't believe that these are all the letters that Paul wrote. If you read I believe it's in the letter to the Colossians, I believe at the end Paul says, for this letter to be read in Laodicea, and he says, also read the letter that was sent to Laodicea. And so, obviously, Paul wrote some other letters, I believe, while he was in prison. I believe that's Colossians at the end of the book. It says, in verse 16, it says, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also to the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So obviously Paul wrote some other letters, and maybe even more than that, but we have these in the canon of Scripture. But Paul used his pen to be productive. You know, it'd be good for us to write while we're at home. God really spoke to my heart about that, and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, and whether it's, as I said, writing with a pen, I prefer to write with a pen. I think it's good. It's just something personal about it. But if it's sending a text message, typing out an email, just taking some time to sit down and write, maybe writing some notes from your personal Bible study, maybe writing in a journal, a prayer journal. I've never did that, but many, many great Christians from yesteryear have prayer journals, and we enjoy them today. And so I'd encourage you during this time, you can be productive through your pen. I thought about two types of letters that you could write. Number one, you could write an encouraging letter. It'd be good this week if you're not too busy, you're not able to work, or even if you are and you have some time on your hand, to write an encouraging letter, a letter of encouragement to someone. You know, the people going through lots of different things, and I think it'd be good for us every now and then just to sit down and write a letter, type out a text, send an email. I know there's folks that do it. I've gotten some encouraging texts this past week from folks of our church family. But you know, we could send some encouraging letters. We had to have a missions moment today. I know Sister Trask down in Honduras, many of you probably seen, I believe she has dengue fever and it's pretty sick. But, you know, you could send an email, type a text or something, and let her know that you're thinking about her, that you're praying for her. Others, just many people, maybe a family member, maybe a friend going through a difficult time. You could just take the time to write them a letter. It's just something about a letter. God wrote us a letter called the Bible. Paul wrote letters. I think we as Christians have gotten away from writing, and I think it'd be good for us. God uses words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, God spoke through the pages of his word. He wrote. It says holy men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost. They wrote down things that the Holy Ghost laid on their heart. And so I think it'd be good for us to sit down and write an encouraging letter to someone. How about this, an evangelistic letter? I haven't done this for a long time, but I can remember years ago writing an evangelistic letter to someone.
sitting down and just telling them about what God had done in my heart, how that God had worked in my life and how that he had saved me and what he was doing. And I was able to put some scripture in there. And you know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so if we can put the word of God in these letters of encouragement or these letters of evangelism, these evangelistic letters, if we would put the word of God, we could plant the seed. You see, you got a captive audience. You know, a lot of times when you're carrying on a conversation, there's folks that would say, you know what, I have a hard time witnessing to folks, and I'm with you. It's hard. A lot of times one of the difficult things is you get tongue-tied. You can't think of what to say fast enough, or you know, you have to respond to what they say, and they're not really listening to you because they're thinking about what they're going to say and what they're going to respond, and they're not listening to what you're saying. And so the good thing about a letter is you've got a captive audience. They're not trying to respond. They're just listening. They're actually reading. So they're seeing it and hearing it. And then if they choose to, they can go back and re-see it and re-hear it and reread it and go back and reread it. And you can't do that in a normal conversation. And so I really believe that if we would write some evangelistic letters, maybe one of our young people get a burden for a grandmother, a grandfather, a cousin, an aunt, or an uncle. Maybe they don't even live nearby. Maybe they live in another state. You could sit down and pray and ask God, God, give me the words to say. Give me the direction of how to share it. And write a letter to that loved one and tell them that you're praying for them and that you love them and God loves them. And give them the gospel. Share the word of God in that letter. And they'll be reading to hear from you. But while they're hearing from you, those scriptures will be in there. And they'll be hearing from God. And so I really believe this could be a good thing if we would sit down and write a letter to someone. I thought about challenging our church family this week, whether you're in quarantine or not, to take the time to sit down and just write one person a letter. Whether, or maybe a letter of each, one letter of encouragement, one letter evangelistically. All of us have loved ones. All of us have friends that are not saved. And man, who knows what would happen if we would just sit down and take time and think it through and send that person an evangelistic letter and share the gospel with them. You say, will that work? It worked for me. It's worked for you. The word of God is a letter that God wrote. That we use the Romans Road. That's a letter that Paul wrote to a church at Rome. And we've used it down through the years to lead many people to Christ. And so, yes, it works. And so I'd challenge you to be an encouragement through your pen. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he said, these things have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. You see, Paul, he was concerned about the gospel. In Philippians chapter number 4, at the end of it, verse 22, he said, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. You see, Paul, many believe that was even winning souls while he was in prison there in Caesar's household. He was those guards that were keeping Paul. Paul was trying to win them to Jesus. Paul, in his letter to Philemon, I won't turn there, but if you look in verse number 10, Paul writing to Philemon, he said, my brother Onesimus, he said, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Onesimus was locked up with the apostle Paul. You know what Paul was doing? Witnessing to him. Paul won Onesimus to the Lord while he was in prison. And he sent a letter to Philemon telling him, Philemon, I'm praying for you. Philemon, I'm writing this letter to you because I want somebody that you know to the Lord. He's my son in the faith. He said, I've begotten him in my bonds and I want to send him back to you and he's profitable to you now. And so I would encourage us, church family, we can be productive through our prayers. We can be productive through our pen. And then number three, and this is the last one and I'm going to be done. We can be productive through praise. Through praise. You know, the book of Philippians, many of us know, I can't remember how many references, it may be over 30 times that the word joy, rejoice, some form of that word is used. I'm not sure. It's a lot of times that the word rejoice or joy or different things. I mean, Philippians chapter 4 is right here in front of me. The Bible says, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice over and over. Verse 10, Paul said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. I mean, Paul is rejoicing. If you read through the book of Philippians, you can't help but see the joy that the apostle Paul has. In Philemon, I referenced that. Paul told Philemon in that letter, he mentioned rejoicing to,
to Philemon. In verse number 7, Paul said, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." You see, Paul was writing these letters, and if you read through Ephesians and you read through Colossians, you'll see that the Apostle Paul was rejoicing. He was praising God. You see, if we want to be productive when we feel like we're in prison, we can pray. We can use our pen. We can write a letter of encouragement. We can write an evangelistic letter, but we also can praise. I think about the Apostle Paul when he was in the book of Acts, when him and Silas were locked up, and the Bible says that midnight they sang praises to God, and the Bible says that the prison doors were, there was an earthquake and the prison doors were open, and that Philippian jailer come in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, Paul was rejoicing even while he was in prison. He was praising God. And you know, if we're not careful, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I told Pastor this morning on the phone that God really dealt with me, because if we're not careful, you know, if you're like me, and maybe you're not, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one this way, but if you're like me, you can sit around and start to get the poochie lip and feel sorry for yourself, and really what we ought to be doing is praising God. God's been good to us, brethren. If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, if your sins are forgiven, if you're a child of God and you're on your way to heaven, God has been good to you. I realize that sometimes life throws things at us that just doesn't make it feel that way. It doesn't seem that way. But it's not about the way things seem. It's about the way things are. I don't see the Apostle Paul crying and you know, complaining about being in prison. No, I see Paul rejoicing. Paul was saying, "God has been good to me." He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said, "God has been so good to me." And I just want to encourage us this week. Let's not sit around and mope in our own self-pity. No, let's praise God. God is good, brethren. God is good. I know when things happen in life, and there's been some things happen. I'm going to mention some things here shortly that's happened in our own church family. And we look around and we say, "What's going on?" Can I tell you this? I know this. I don't know a lot of things, but there is one thing that I do know. I know that we have a great God. And I know that he loves us. And I know that we don't understand everything that he does and everything that he allows, but it doesn't change who he is. God is good. And we can rejoice. We can praise God in the good times and in the bad, on the mountaintops and in the valley. I just want to encourage you, church family, praise God. Praise God. I want my children to see me praising God. God's been good to us, brethren. I look back over this past week, the past 2 weeks, we had Vacation Bible School, and I realize where we're at right now, but man, we had a great week. God blessed. Souls were saved. Things happened. I want to praise God for that. I'm thankful that as of this time, the virus hasn't made anyone too sick, and we ought to praise God for that. There's so many things that we can praise God for. God has been good to us, brethren. And I just want to praise him this morning. I just want to praise God, and I want to encourage you to praise God. Don't let the circumstances of life stop you from praising God. And so, being productive in prison. Number one, we can do it through prayer. Number two, we can do it through the pen. And number three, we can do it through praise. You know, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Just be good for us, brethren, just to praise the Lord. The Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." God is good, brethren. Let's praise him for his goodness to us. I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll close our service for this morning. I hope that some of these thoughts have been a help to someone today. I pray that in the days going forward, we would remember we need to pray. Use the pen, write a letter, send an email, type out a text. And let's not forget to praise God. God is good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. And God, thank you for your word, and God, I just thank you for the examples that we have in your word, the example of the Apostle Paul. What a great Christian. God, I know that Paul himself said that he was what he was by your grace. God, we all are.
The only thing good in us is you, God. And I just want to say thank you this morning for being so good to us, God, for loving us, Lord. In spite of us, God, you love us. And God, even when we don't understand and when we can't explain what's going on, God, we can stand upon the truth of the Word of God. We know in whom we have believed. God, we know that you're God and you're God alone and you're good. And we're just going to try to trust you with that, Lord. We love you and we thank you for loving us. God, please speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Challenge us to put some of these things to practice in our own lives. God, help me, Lord, not to just be a hearer of the word, but God, help me to be a doer. Lord, help me to practice what I preach this morning. We love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.